Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
How are you, Cindy?
Good. Everything's pretty good. A little bit hectic here. It's been one of those weeks where every moment everybody's, I need a reading, I need one now, I need a reading, I need one now. And like,
everybody
I woke
needs
up
a reading yesterday.
And I was like a little bit overwhelmed because it just can't be. Do you know what I mean? It just can't be. So,
I know.
You know, I'm asking people, you know, sometimes give me a little heads up. You know, you need a reading. If you, you know, have to wait a month or 5 or 6 weeks, it's the universe knows you're going to get guidance and I'll be here for you.
It's not going to kill
you. And the universe will be guiding you. Because that's
well, the way that I always interpreted that was that whenever you weren't available for a reading, it just meant that I wasn't meant to get a reading at that point and I wasn't ready for one.
Right, and that's what I try to tell people. Trust in the process. Trust in the process of opening up divine guidance and you will be guided. And, you know, it's funny because I think people have a little bit, you know, misunderstanding. I mean, some people just think they're going to pay me money and I'm going to make it all right. Okay,
yes,
you know,
of course.
So screwed up in your relationship, and I'm going to pay you money, and he's going to come back, and it's all going to be hunky-dory. Like, I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, I'm going to give you some advice. You're going to see what's going to happen. But, you know, and sometimes it's like, really, we need to learn a little bit of patience in life. Let's see, you know, be patient, see what's happening. It is almost that, like, I need the answer right now, right now, that, you know, sometimes we just need to let the lesson be learned. Even if the lesson is just patience, perseverance, endurance. I mean, sometimes that's all the whole lesson is, endurance. You can endure.
I think that part of it too, Cindy, could also be that, you know, like if you're in relationship trouble or if you are, you know, in need of some guidance as far as your career, a lot of what we tell people and a lot of what you tell people is that, you know, your gut knows. And what do you really feel in your gut? You know, without trying to talk yourself into something else. And I think that part of why people tend to lean on you as much as they do is because they trust you more than they trust themselves. Because it's coming from another person, it's automatically reputable and more important information than if it just came from their own heads. You know, and then it also frees them from any liability of consequences of their actions because, well, if somebody else told them to do it, then they're free from any and all responsibility for following. So I think that when you have to wait and when you have to exercise a little bit of patience, I think that's the universe's way of saying that just because it comes from another person doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it information from another person. But you are perfectly, perfectly able to receive the same set of information if you follow your instincts and you use common sense and you exercise a little bit of, like you said, patience and you exercise a little bit of better judgment.
And of course, because when people are in the middle of a vortex and a mess, it's like I always say, when the house hits the ground from the tornado, I'll deal with it. I don't want to be up there in the tornado with you. So let it land. You know, I don't want to go down with that house, you know. And
who wants
we'll
that kind of responsibility?
Well, first of all, because it's not played out enough. And sometimes, you know, you have to really see what the person does. I mean, sometimes the universe is saying, let's wait and see what they do before we comment. Okay, they don't want to interfere with free will. Let's just see. So if I start telling things or, you know, too much beforehand, you're not going to learn the lessons you need to learn. And some of them, you know, you already knew this, you sensed it, you saw it coming, and you just let it happen. You let the train wreck happen. And sometimes God wants you to see the train wreck so that the next time you'll pay a little attention and so it doesn't go that bad. So I'm always telling people, you know, it's an overwhelming responsibility what I have. I can, you know, I do way more readings than I should be doing. If I'm crying uncle, it's because I can't go in that vortex anymore. I can't do it anymore. And if it's really important that you get read today, the universe always tells me, read them now. Read them now. For the most part, they go, nah, it can wait. Nah, it can wait. That's what I hear. You know, and if you remember Jimena called, do you remember Jimena called that her husband's stepbrother was in the car crash? And I think you heard what I was saying, that he was going to choose death. You could hear that I was tiptoeing around that. But that what I could hear his soul saying is that he could not honestly say to God that he
Well, he had a choice to make. And he could either promise God that he was going to change his ways or not. And you were saying that he was most likely choosing not. He couldn't promise it.
He couldn't promise to come back on earth and not do drugs and not drive under the influence and not be a manipulator. And unfortunately, he died. About two days after I gave the reading. I wasn't surprised. He said he was sorry to her. You know, he got in that bad car crash. We talked about driving under the influence, that he could have killed somebody else. And what his soul records were revealed after he died, his spirit guide said, Cindy, he should have killed a carload of five people. We steered his wheel into the pole and killed him. Had he killed those five people, he would have been guilty of murder of five people. So when he saw that, regardless of whether these people died or not, on his soul record are that he really did it. In a parallel universe, he killed them.
Yeah.
And that was something
I believe that
I think was very painful for him to see. And because he couldn't guarantee he's not going to drive under the influence again. And if he were to come back, God said he's going to be brain damaged. So he probably would not be able to drive again, but he'd be severely brain damaged, and he seemed to not want that option. So, you know, unfortunately, it was very hard for me to deliver that message last week, but I could already see he had already made his decision to cross over.
You had
not before
nicely,
saying
though,
he was sorry.
That with tact.
He said he was sorry, so... But that was very hard. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of our listeners probably wanted to know the outcome of that. So, I mean, and look, that was one small reading, 10-minute reading on the air. I do 60 of those a week, of sometimes of that magnitude of a reading, draining on me to deliver hard messages all day long. So there is a point where my own mind says, no, you need to think your own thoughts. You need to get out of this realm of death. Stop talking to dead people. Stop talking to this stuff. So, you know, I'm just letting anybody know out there, if I'm asking you to wait, it's because my own mental and physical health is demanding it, you know, that I need the rest
absolutely.
From it. And you could see that. That was a hard reading, correct? You were listening.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's also this. It's like, you know, do you really want to get information from somebody who is that mentally drained and exhausted? You know?
No, and that's what I said.
I mean, this is not an exact science what you do. You know, I mean, there's nothing to gauge. There's nothing, you know, I mean, this is literally all you. So if you're tired, just like with anything else in life, if you're tired or sleep deprived or emotionally drained or under stress, then you know what? It's you're not going to be as proficient as you should be.
And
know?
What it is it's such
a car under those conditions or working under those conditions. You know, it's terrible.
And because it's such an awesome responsibility to deliver things properly, if I'm feeling I'm not going to be able to do that, I don't want to do it.
I agree.
So, you know, because if I feel like I'm too fatigued, I'm too tired, nor can I get that deep into that realm anymore because it begins to hurt my mind. It's almost like a jogger doing 26-mile marathon and being asked to jog just another mile. Just another mile.
I'm always reinforcing
that to people that sometimes, and because everybody's sort of unhappy or someone died or someone's under stress. So, you know, people don't come here when they're happy. People don't get readings when they're happy.
No.
So it's always dealing in that realm of people unhappy, people wanting answers, people upset, people anxious. And I'm an empath, so, you know, I feel their anxiety. So there's a point where, you know, my own life, it starts bleeding a little bit into my own life where I will finally start feeling some anxiety because my own being is saying, okay, enough. Enough in the realm of anxiety. How about relaxing? So, you know, all of us, and this goes for any person, if you're talking with your mother and your life's going hard and you keep dumping on her all the problems of your life and your mother has to listen and she has to sort through it and she has to feel sorry for you and she has to help. If you're doing it with anybody, you're draining them. So there are sometimes when people have to sometimes deal with some of their problems by themselves a little bit.
Energy vampires.
Right. So I'm always trying to get all my clients not to be energy vampires with me, with themselves, you know, with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, patience is the key. And, you know, we're such a television, half an hour, solve everything in a half an hour. So everything's solved immediately from, you know, the way it's solved on television. It's all wrapped up in a half an hour. It doesn't get wrapped up in a half an hour. Now, we do have, I think, I hope this is the person that was I'm supposed to have come through,
the 561, you said, right? Somebody from
561.
From down there,
I think it's Florida.
Okay.
I think that's Christina.
Well,
I
they didn't press
her.
The number one to talk to you. So all right, hopefully
let's do number one.
Okay,
then maybe that's not her. Maybe it's the first number. Let's see. Maybe she did used to live on Long Island, so maybe that's her number.
All right. Well, you know,
that
we're just going
to
go to the person who's been waiting the longest then. Since we don't have a definitive number, and again, guys, when you do want Cindy to pick up your call or when you do put in that special request, make sure that you leave your phone number and make sure that, you know, you mark who exactly you are. And don't forget, if you want to talk to Cindy, just press the number one on your phone tab, and then we'll get a little alert on this side that you want to be picked up. All right, and usually we don't pick up people unless they press that lovely number. So moving on, we're going to go to the last four digits of your number so that you know that we're speaking to you, is 0445. And as usual, I'd never screen the first call, so let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, you're on here.
Hi.
Hi, is this Christina?
No, it's
okay.
Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Where are you calling from?
The island.
Okay, so you've been waiting a long time. You must have something on your mind.
Yeah, and after that speech, I don't know if I should be asking or maybe I solve it on my own.
You know what I'm talking about. I said, kind of people that they come to you and they want you to answer and get everything right now? And with you, I'm sure you've waited a long time on today, so you must have something on your mind.
I do. I have two major concerns. One is a family member that I'm very concerned about, and the other is a legal issue that I'm dealing with.
Okay. Now, with your family member, is it an illness? Or is it just manipulation going on?
I guess it could fall under both categories.
Okay, because I have a feeling that both of your questions are more linked than you think.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, which means the world is really comprised of good people dealing with manipulators.
Right.
Someone who's not telling the whole truth, judgmental, whose problems become our problems. Legally, your battle looks good. The first card I got was a legal battle that's solved and resolved in your favor.
Okay.
So, again, when you go and you're dealing with this legal battle, are you addressing just facts and not getting overly emotional?
Okay.
Do you get emotional over the situation when you're in court?
Yes, but in the past few, I guess, weeks, you'd say, I'm just done dealing with it. I'm over, you know, that aspect of it. I've kind of outgrown it, and every correspondence I have is just very basic sentences sticking to the facts. So.
Thank you, because that's how you win. If we get upset in court or any of that, it looks like we're manipulating.
Am I going to have to go that far?
It looks like you're going to win. The person that you're, you know, going against is really, really a manipulator.
Yeah.
And that person will never admit fault. But it looks like they don't necessarily want a court battle.
Right.
So, again, this time you've been addressing it with just the facts, not attacking the people and anything like that. it looks like a very good outcome. Is there money involved here?
Yes.
Okay, because it looks like a significant amount of money, by the way.
Okay.
And it looks like it should go your way, but this person is really, really twisting and turning facts. Have you seen
any
of their paperwork?
Absolutely.
I mean, absolute liar.
And what about the other person that involves, I mean, it's kind of like two against one, me being the one.
Okay, you think, is that the family member you're concerned with?
They're both family members, and then
okay.
one of them I'm particularly concerned with all around, in just in
okay,
general.
Because what it is that we always have to battle the inner circle. We always have to eventually learn what Jesus was teaching, and one of his messages truly wasn't you, your brother's keeper. It was you're not
mm-hmm.
your brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And that if your family members hurt you, you're expected to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, good people have taught people rob and rape people you know because you never get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you fighting these two people is very hard. And, you know, one isn't as bad as the other.
That's
but
correct.
But the one person's afraid of the other. It's like one's a Hitler and the other one's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, can go either way. And because they're so afraid of this person,
right,
they're going along with it.
Right, okay.
And the sad part about this, you have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Okay. The sad part about it is your grandfather just said you may not speak to either one of these people when this is over with.
That's very true.
And that's very hard for you because family is important to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, older souls by nature want their family members to like them. They want people to like them. Your intention in doing this is not to hurt them, but if you don't fight this battle and you walk away and turn the other cheek, God will look at it as Lynn saying, well, I don't need the money. And God will say, okay, I'm going to nuke your house in the next hurricane. Are you going to be sorry you didn't go after that money?
Mm.
So if you don't fight these people, God will just give you two more like this to fight.
Right.
Once we fight this battle, the one person is looking a little bit inward. And if it has to go to court, that person does not want to perjure themselves.
Right.
So if it goes to court, that person is too afraid of that situation. So
yeah.
I think the other person can have this go to court.
Right.
Because it's been kind of made plain to them, okay, I'll support you like this, but I'm not going to court.
Right.
So, you know, knowing that, they really didn't think you would pursue this, by the way.
Oh, very funny you say that. I agree.
They thought you were going to be a good Christian, turn the other cheek and walk away.
Right.
And it's shocking to them because when good people are not all that predictable because good people, when their blinders come off, know how to fight and they try
right.
to fight fair and good. They didn't expect the blinders to come off.
Right.
So now that your blinders are off, they're not quite sure what you're going to do. Bad people
right.
are very predictable. They're going to threaten to kill us, kill themselves. They're going to lie. They're going to twist truth. They're going to throw grenades at us. They're very predictable bad people.
Right.
Good people, nobody's quite sure. And when good
right.
people deal with just the facts and no emotion, they win.
Right.
So okay. this looks very, very, very good. Know that your grandfather is trying to pop some thoughts in one of these people's heads. This is not right.
Okay.
And just know that this is a hard battle for you. It does look like it's going to be resolved sooner than later.
Okay.
And, you know, what are other family members telling you?
I mean, they want everybody to get together and resolve, but, I mean, you know, the extent in which they've gone, you know, and one of my other family members that I was telling you about, the one that I'm really concerned with, this particular member is in all areas of life, is just really on a downward spiral, and that's what contributes to my feelings toward that person, you know, as well, because it's a well-rounded type of, you know, distrust and disappointment in this person, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen with her. I'm very concerned.
And you should you know, realize that just you're a nice person, and maybe you don't want to see that person, like, hit bottom. But they're going to hit bottom over the situation.
Okay. And I kind of do want them to, because I feel like it's the only thing that will stop.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's the whole truth. If we don't let people, you know, get the full whammy of their behaviors, we are interfering with God's alchemy. In other words, actions have reactions. So if we don't let people's actions, we land them where they land, then we're interfering with the laws of karma, and God never likes that. So bad
things happen. Can you give me an idea as to what's going to happen and how this is going to play out?
It looks like somehow, you know, first of all, your family members who are telling you peacefully resolve it, some of them are good people. They just have blinders on, and they think that you could deal fairly with people who lie.
Right.
And you can't. Problem that these people have miscalculated, you know, how bad some of these are.
Right.
But it actually looks like the resolution's pretty, pretty near. You have a lawyer, by the way?
I do.
Okay, good. And they didn't think you would get a lawyer, by the way.
Mm.
I'm just telling you, they didn't think you would get a lawyer.
Yeah.
So I think they're also bad-mouthing you to family members. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes, they are. I know that.
Okay, because they're trying to do a smear campaign against you.
Right.
What you're going to do is when people ask you, why are you doing this? And you just go like this, am I a good person? And they're going to go, yeah. And you're going to say, I must have my reasons.
Right.
Don't get down and dirty. It's none of anybody's business. You know, you're not under obligation to tell anybody why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
But ultimately, I mean, you know, one of them doesn't want to back down here.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, that person wants to go all the way to court. And I think the other person may try to just say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. So what is your lawyer saying, by the way?
You know, I mean, presents the options and just says, is it really worth it? You know, but I have factual evidence that I'm 100% confident that will prove exactly, you know, all my claims, and there's really no denying it. But, you know, obviously I don't want to get to that point.
No, and again, just, you know, pray they sort of see the light a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're just dealing with people that are neither one are very scrupulous, and one of them is a sociopath, has no conscience. So.
Yeah. That one that you're talking about is on the downward spiral.
Is there drugs involved with that person, do you know?
Is what?
Is there any drugs involved with that person?
I suspect.
Because that's what it looks like to me.
Like marijuana maybe, or
marijuana and maybe something worse. But it just looks like the person's not thinking clearly at all.
Right. And what about, you know, family situation for that person? Because that's what I'm worried about.
Well, it doesn't look promising here. So, I mean, it looks like that person's really going to hit the rock bottom. And at this point, you're being told, do what you got to do.
Is it like a DWI? Is it an arrest?
No, it looks like a DWI. It looks like that's what, you know, just before you spoke, we talked about that person that drove under the influence.
Right.
This person may get a DWI, and that's going to be a big mess.
Right. And what about her love interest?
Not the world's best person. Do you know this person?
Yeah, well, I think there's more than one.
Okay, so, first of all, I think, you know, this person's lighting the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
So just nothing looks good in terms of this person, by the way.
Yeah.
And karma is, you know, sometimes it's not, there's instant karma. And then there's, like, sort of karma interruptus, which takes a little time.
Right.
Some of this has to play out. People have to learn lessons. That's why when people want everything sped up, I want these people punished, they go, you know, there's a lot of lessons for a lot of people to learn. And
right.
So God can't just speed it up for you because you have lessons to learn. This person has lessons to learn. Your rest of your family has lessons to learn. So be a little patient with it. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it, though.
There are children involved as well, which I'm concerned about.
Again, your intention in doing this is not to hurt anybody.
Mm.
And, The children will be protected, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, that's the one thing your grandfather promises, is the kids will not be hurt.
Okay.
You know, and just know that the situation, they're going to try to scare you and intimidate you to back off.
Mm.
Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared.
Okay.
Just be strong. Call in and let us know how it works out.
I will.
It's the hardest battles are to battle people we know.
Right.
And again, most people steal from people they know. It takes courage to go rob a deli. You might get a gun in your head.
Right.
Rob from your family members doesn't take any courage. And
right.
for the most part, people have gotten away with it.
Right.
And again, the reason that older souls, and you're a very old soul, lives are harder than they should be is because we refuse to punish people we're supposed to punish.
Right.
And that means sometimes just walking away. And at this point in your life, you have no choice but to go forward with what you're
right.
doing. And you may lose some other family members along the line, but what will happen is a year or two from now, they'll be screwed over by these people too.
Right.
And then they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. So
right.
try not to sit, try to talk about it as little as possible with others, by the way.
Okay.
Don't get people involved. The good people can't see evil. They can't see what's going on, and they can't help you. And
right.
don't they'll have to see it play out.
Right.
But ultimately the outcome looks very good for you.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't life the bad guys versus the good guys? Every movie's about it, every TV show. I mean, I'm having my workshop on Monday, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. They seem to have this phenomenal turnout, and I'm like, oh, see, people really need to hear this. They really need
definitely.
To learn these lessons. And, you know, of course, when people ask me, why am I not having abundance? Why does God? I go, well, God doesn't give abundance to older souls oftentimes because they would write checks for every deadbeat they're not supposed to write checks for. Now, God gives money to people like the Kardashians who won't give a dog a stray bone, a stray dog a bone. So realize if you're wondering why your business ventures aren't turning out as well as they should, think about if you had $20 million, who would you be helping? And think about, are those people who are helping themselves? Are those people who have been there for you? Or are you just thinking that's what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to be charitable. And again, we are supposed to be, but we're not supposed to bail out people we're not supposed to be bailing out. So again,
true.
If older souls want great abundance, stop writing checks for deadbeats already. And it's such a hard lesson for people to learn because we think, well, that'll be good. It'll come back to me. No, sometimes we're not supposed to bail people out. Sometimes we're supposed to stay in jail a month. You know, think about it before you write the checks because
sometimes
really,
you're not supposed to rob people of their karmic lessons. You have yours to learn, and although it's lovely that you want to help people, sometimes the lesson is for them to learn.
Exactly. And if you keep interfering with that, what's going to happen is you're going to eventually, God's going to have to disempower you, get you out of the way. And I can't stress enough the simple truth that bad things happen to good people because they don't get out of God's way. If you keep interfering with God's way, he's got to take your job from you so you can't write checks. He's got to take your health from you. He's got to keep taking so you stop helping who you shouldn't help. So anybody who's listening, if for some reason you say, man, everything keeps going wrong in my life. Like one of my clients calls for reading. She's got a brother holding up a sale of a house and an inheritance. Now God seems to be taking money from her. And I said, God keeps doing this because you keep being too patient with a brother who's hoping this will aggravate you and you'll drop dead. And then your sweet daughter won't sue him and he'll get this whole inheritance to himself. And God is making it so you need that money. So you can't be so patient.
Pretty much.
You fight for what's yours. So if things keep not going your way, you might want to just think, what is God's message to me? It's not bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
Never bad luck.
No.
It's always a reason. And I'm a living testimony of this since I got away from rescuing people. And even my little speech in the beginning of the show is, don't ask me to rescue you. Because it's not my job to rescue you. It's my job to give you a message. And if you're putting me in a job in that role of rescuing you today from your pain, that you karmically have to suffer today, you're asking me to interfere with your karmic lessons. And one of them is sometimes suffering. Sometimes you have to suffer for a day or two. It's life. And that's what you learn. So it's hard to teach people that sometimes you just need to figure out, why am I in the mess I'm in? And those are the things that I think your life's been going a lot smoother, Nicole, since you stopped rescuing your ex that you were with for so long.
Oh, yes, completely.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Things have.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you,
I'm still like a little bit of a rescuer and things like that.
Of course you are.
I know
you're
that.
Young.
You know, I mean, it's like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with wanting to help, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to give of yourself. I mean, those are very, very commendable, you know, sort of things. But at the same time, you really have to, you can't rob people of their lessons, and you have to kind of learn your own lessons. And, you know, there's just, you got to realize that we're all here to coexist, and that everything in life is about the journey, and it's about, you know, learning, you know, and it's about learning from your past, learning from mistakes that other people have made. Everything is learning. And if you keep robbing somebody of their learning, you know, of just like their overall ability to learn, and you keep robbing somebody of their journey, you're kind of robbing them of their destination. Because in order to get to their destination, they got to go on that journey. And if you keep doing it for them, they're never going to get where they need to be.
Exactly. And what happens
it's you know, it's not a justice for you or for them, because what winds up happening is you have your destiny and you have your destination, and they have their destiny and their destination. But you keep doing all of their work, and you're not doing any of the work from yourself. So in the end, what's happening? You're not making it to where you need to go. You're robbing them of where they want to go. And, you know, there's a saying where if the road that you keep, you know, traveling doesn't have bumps in it, it's probably not your road. You know, I mean, so it's kind of
right.
Like,
I mean, you have to have a little bump. You got to have a little,
yeah.
You know, you have to have a little bump.
You
got to
have a little bumps. And it's fine that you have bumps. It makes you stronger to have bumps.
And because,
you know, it's not supposed to be
souls,
easy.
By nature, are rescuers. They like to help. You know, I like to help. You like to help. God has to save us from ourselves. It's like, you know, God has to say, oh, no, no more of that. Okay.
Yeah, we're done with that now.
We're done with that now. So I'm always telling people, I always want to be here to help. That's my nature. But, again,
okay.
That expression, when you're in a plane and, you know, you got to give oxygen to, you know, to your child, you give it to yourself first so that you can help your child.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, again, we're everything we keep talking about is people have lessons to learn. If you keep getting the same kinds of people that are unfixable, that are always taking,
mm-hmm.
and not giving and hurting, maybe
different
you haven't learned.
Same dumpster.
Right. And you haven't learned to walk away. You haven't learned enough is enough. You haven't learned self-love, self-preservation. Then these people will keep coming into your life until you really realize that it's not your job, you know, to clean up anybody's mess but your own. And, you know, once
yep,
in a while, everybody falls down and gets hurt, and we can help them. But some people
mm-hmm.
are sinking Titanic every day. Every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a disaster.
And furthermore with that, though, also, Cindy, okay, if you keep putting yourself out there and you keep getting the same deadbeats and you're getting the same kinds of people in your life over and over again, be it platonic or romantic, if you keep drawing in the same people, maybe the problem is not the people that you're drawing in. Maybe the problem is you. Okay, you can't keep saying that, oh, well, you know what, I'm leaving this one, I'm going to that one, it's all the same, it's all the same, it's all the same. If it's all the same, it's something that you're doing that's the same.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is learning. Now, I'm not sure, does anybody have a one pressed? I know I was waiting for Christina from...
nobody has pressed the number one, so I'm chit-chatting. I did not queue anybody up.
No, I don't see if anybody wants us. We're here. Certainly.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, look at that. We reminded everybody to press one, and look how many people decided they wanted to talk.
Okay, good.
Did that pop
right,
up on your screen, too?
Yep. So you pick the next one in line.
All right, we're going to go for the next one in line. And just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last four digits of your phone number are 6352. So let's see who's waiting for us there. And I did not cue this because I did not know they wanted to speak. So
okay.
It'll be a good one.
Yes.
Hello,
yes,
you're on the air.
Oh, my God. I am so happy. I pressed one 3 times. I didn't think it went through. I didn't get a voice back, and then the second time it said you were connected. But then when you said it again, I said, oh, my God, I pressed one. And you're not going to believe this. I did not have the energy to go to my meditation class or anything today, and I can't believe I got through. I am so happy.
Oh, good. Well, maybe you needed us more than meditation, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe God said, you're not going to sit there and think about this crap. Get an answer.
Yeah. And at 10 to 7, I noticed the time. I was unaware of the time at 10 to 7, and then suddenly I said, oh, my God, I want to call in.
Now, and okay, can you tell our listeners who you are? I know who you are. Can you tell our
Elaine.
Listeners? Elaine. Now, Elaine, you've
is
been trying to meditate.
Is this the same Elaine that called a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, hello, Elaine.
Now, you didn't have the energy to go to meditation. Now, what's sucking all your energy dry?
You know, it's very strange because your last caller, it's a similar situation. I have difficulties with both sides of my mom's side of the family and my father's side of the family, and both situations are worrying and draining me. The situation with my mother's side of the family after my grandmother died has been a complete horror mess and breakup of the family, and it's basically a lot of it is affecting my mother and my siblings and myself, and I don't know what's happening. I just don't know how to advise my mother. It just seems like...
She has a lesson to learn, and the lesson is 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. The fact that when your grandmother, the matriarch, the strong one, was there, the Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hydes that go one way or the other stayed on the toed the line with her. But once she left, their true colors were shown. And it's very painful for your mother, but you can't stop your mother from learning in life that there are people that won't change, and there are people that aren't good, and when money is involved, it even makes it worse. And I think it's hard for your mom to see it, and your mom's a good person, but your mom would almost rather die than face some of this. People just don't want to face this. They'd rather have a stroke, a literal blow their brains out, than face the fact that these people were never who they thought they were, that these people have not changed for the worse. They just never were that great. They just were able to toe a line. And, you know, she doesn't want to sever the ties with some of these people, but there isn't enough is enough here in these cards. And have you told her enough is enough? Have you told her that some of these people are just not nice?
Well, I guess she, you know what it is, it's, we never, and my siblings and I guess a lot of other people never expected what was going to happen. And I don't, see, the thing is that they're trying to get my mother was a single mom, you know, and they're trying to get her out of the house that my grandmother allowed her to live in for 39 years. And they really have their own good lives and homes and everything. And it's
about the money.
Yeah. And I don't know how to stop this. I don't know, you know, like finding a good lawyer that's trustworthy, you know, I just am overwhelmed.
Well, did your grandmother have a will that said she could live there still?
Well, my grandmother said to my siblings and myself, don't worry. They know they're not allowed to kick your mother out of the house until she's ready to go. My grandmother was like a beautiful person and never
right.
thought anything.
Too good. Too good.
Happened.
Well,
yeah.
She's feeling very bad because, and let's look. Let our listeners learn from this. It has to be in writing. People
yeah.
will yes you to death. Yeah, 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 sure, Mom. Yeah, 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 sure, we know. Yeah, 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 sure, we know. Okay? But
yeah.
when push comes to shove, it is not in writing, and your grandmother didn't legally protect your mother, and she's really upset about it. Now, what'll happen is they have the legal right to sell that house because divided among the siblings.
Right.
And what, you know, is going to have to be done is probably you can't fight it if it's not in writing. Does your grandmother have a will?
Yeah.
And does the will say the properties, everything's equally distributed?
Yeah.
Okay. Then they have the legal right to sell it.
No, I know. But I'm just wondering, like, the outcome of this, if I wrote some sort of letter on how this has been affecting my entire family, if that
will
make
any... They don't care. They want the money. So what's going to happen is, if you got a lawyer, because it's not in writing, and what they're going to say is she's lived there all this time, she's entitled to less than they are,
mm-hmm.
because she's lived there.
Yeah.
And they'll fight dirty so she gets nothing. So
yeah.
it might be better off for her to accept that she gets her equal share of the home and she goes lives in an apartment. Or buys
I'm sorry.
That she doesn't want it. She doesn't want to move out. But again,
yeah.
you know what the karmic message here is that if we have wills, they have to be very clear. And
mm-hmm.
if you intended for that child to live there, it would have to have stated in the will that she can live there until she dies or chooses to move.
Mm-hmm.
But since
it doesn't
say that. The way that New York law works is that it would be distributed equally among the children.
Yeah.
It's almost like she can't fight this. And I think she's mad at her mother for not protecting her. Her mother was one of those genuinely good people that didn't anticipate this. But
exactly.
When it comes to inheritance, I don't care if they're going to fight over a teapot. So
yep.
I remember my father was very clear in his will, and it was something I had to pull out, by the way. And it said, if anybody contests this or gives a hard time, they're entitled to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my brothers gave a hard time, and it pretty much had to be quietly stated that I could take everything from you and distribute it among all your other two brothers and me. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the legal right to cut him out. You have to have things in the will to protect people. And again, you guys are thinking, well, she said it and everybody heard it. It's just like when somebody dies, all their jewelry's gone because you and I are mourning for it while everybody's robbing the jewelry.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
you know what I'm talking about. The rings are all gone. If you want a ring to be passed to somebody, you have to pass it while you're alive. This
yeah.
is yours. And realize that if you get a lawyer... They may choose to help fight it, but you should do your homework on looking at that will very carefully. And
okay.
if the will states it's equally distributed among the children with no stipulation, there's nothing your mother can do legally. And
well,
she will waste her money with a lawyer who just wants to make money.
Yeah.
And it's very, very sad. But again, you know, your mom doesn't like change. So she's going to have a hard time over this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where she could live after this? Do you have any idea?
I have no clue because my mother made an offer to give up her, there were two other properties that my grandmother had, to give up her share of those properties so that she can buy the house. And this was back in December. She called their lawyer. And then what happened was about a week and a half ago, she received a letter from their lawyer stating they've rejected your offer and you have 30 days to vacate the premises or the legal fees that they'll incur will be taken out of your share of the estate.
Well, first of all, they can't get her out in 30 days. It takes like years to evict people in New York.
Their lawyer sent that letter to my mother.
Well, you know, the eviction process, they have to take her to court, and that takes months and months and months. So don't let her be, so intimidated by that. Again, what you have to do is look at the dollars and cents, how much it's all worth, how much her share is, because she might be able to buy it out when she gets her share.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, again, I don't think they plan on giving out the fair share. I think they plan on robbing her blind. But the best thing you could do is get a fair, estimate of what these properties are worth, added up, and see if her share can buy the house.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to evict her is not easy. I mean, okay. I don't know if you've been reading about in New York with the zombie houses, people that, you know, people, the houses that nobody's lived in and people start squatting in them. You can't get those people out for 6 months. So they go for court and eviction. Doesn't matter. It's your house. They squatted in it. You can't get rid of them. In New York, if someone's lived in a place for 30 days, you can't get rid of them that easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might want to consult a lawyer what her legal rights is, because a lawyer could draft up something that, you know, that could answer that. But they're trying to scare her, intimidate her, and they're hoping she'll drop dead. And that's really because then she'll get out of their way. They're trying to give her a stroke. The good people get strokes over this stuff. A stroke is literally blowing your brains out. So realize they're trying to scare her, intimidate her. What I'm seeing is that, you know, she'll get a, you know, she has to make sure that she knows the worth of the property. She gets her share of it. And, you know, maybe she has to buy another place to live. Maybe she can buy that one out. If you don't know how much is involved and you don't know how much the house is worth, you don't know if her share of it could buy it.
Yeah.
That's a fair, you know, they might try to come up with a price that's ridiculous, but there's a fair market price.
Right, right.
So, right. You know, try to get your mom to calm down a little bit. You know, if once she moves out of there, they're going to try to rob her blind in general. So the lawsuit that you might have is more to make sure she gets her amount of money. But, you know, try to be calm about it, gather facts. What's happening, she's so scared, she's like a scared chicken, she's going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, try to keep her calm and let's figure this out.
Okay.
And, you know, they think that she's freeloaded off of for all these years. Did your mom pay bills?
Yes, she paid the taxes and she paid the
upkeep.
Right,
but in their mind, they don't think that, okay? In essence, she's paid the taxes and she's paid everything. She's kept the upkeep going. So everything she's saying is not true.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're claiming that she's lived there rent-free and meanwhile she's been taking care of the house for 39 years.
And, you know, just stay calm, please. What happens is once we start getting hysterical and your mother starts panicking, but if you would consult any lawyer, they can't get her out without, the lawyer can say that, but he has to take her to court and she has to get an eviction. That takes months. So the lawyer can say she's got to get out of there, but he doesn't have the legal right to do that. Only the courts can, and later on a sheriff. He's not a sheriff. He's not a judge. So they're trying to bully her.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this. She's never going to talk to any of them when this is over. And that's painful for her.
Yeah, it is. It is, because you can't believe that this is what happened, you know.
How many siblings are there?
Well, there's three other sisters that, you know, are living very comfortable lives, and one that always had a lot of money and a good life, but her nature was always greed. And
that's why she wants it. She doesn't care if it's a nickel. Okay, so there's four of them. So three properties divided four ways. You know, it's very possible she has, how much is the house worth? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, well, the house itself, I think, would go on the market for $650.
Okay, so it's that's why they want the money. It's an expensive house. But the other two lands, you know how much they're worth at all?
Well, one's a property, I think some sort of very small building or lot in Manhattan, and another is her condominium in Florida, which they have up for sale right now for $275.
Okay, so between the building, and even if it's a small lot in Manhattan, it's usually a pretty good amount of money. It's just that it looks like she's not going to be able to fight, you know, the selling of that house and her taking her share of money, which would give her money to buy another house, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, try to let her know sometimes it's just, you know, maybe that house is too big for her now anyway. So just try not to tell her not to panic too much. But
okay.
She isn't going to be, the way the will is, and if you had a lawyer look at it, that's what you need to look at. She probably can't fight it forever.
Okay.
But they can't get her out in 2 seconds. I mean, she could be living in there till they sell it, you know?
Okay. And you said that some sort of zombie law. What is that called?
The zombie houses. Those are the houses that, you know, are boarded up sometimes in foreclosure.
Oh.
And people will just start moving into them. They'll just, move in. And when, you know, one woman, they had this story in Newsday. She was from Amityville, and she had bought this house, and she redid it for, like, $140,000. But everybody she rented it to didn't pay her. So anyway, she was trying to sell it, and it didn't sell. And a woman moved in there, turned on the water, did everything, and took her 6 months to get her evicted from her own home that she owned because the woman had lived there 30 days.
Okay.
So it's not that easy to get people out.
Okay.
And again, perhaps you could negotiate with them. You know, you're going to have to, you know, get your mother to realize that she probably can't fight this, but to get that she can live in until the house is sold. This whole house isn't going to sell in a minute. And during that time, the year it takes to sell it, she can get rid of stuff, get ready. She'll know how much money she has, and she could look for another place. So you might want to yes them to death that she's getting out of there, but stall some time. Again, have a lawyer look at it, what her legal right is. But a lawyer that's unscrupulous might want her to fight it, but, you know, it could end up costing her $500,000, all of her inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That's what's scary.
And again, she would have enough money to buy another house. So sometimes people maybe have to move. It's not the end of the world to have to move.
No, I know. I guess it's, I guess she's been there for 39 years, but I guess more so that they're doing this to her because,
right,
you know,
and again, if your, you know, her mother didn't protect her that way. I mean, wills have to say people can live in a house until.
Yeah, you're right.
And if
I
it doesn't say that, if that stipulation is not in a will, it is divided and, you know, everything has to be sold. I mean, does it say in the will everything has to be sold and equally distributed? Because most wills say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it says everything has to be sold and equally distributed, that house has to be sold. I mean, she doesn't really have a leg to fight it. So, again, do you have a copy of the will?
Yeah, I have it somewhere, yeah.
Okay, read it carefully. If you can find something, the clause that could help your mother, find it. But sometimes there isn't one.
Yeah, okay.
Well, good luck to you. And you know, call and let us know what happens with her. Calm her down that she's not going to be a bag lady. She's not going to be out on the street.
No. I guess it's just the heart of everything. But can I ask you another question? My father's family, I don't know what their intentions are. I don't know what to do with, because that also involves property. One of the aunts wanting to take over, like, I guess, a part of a share of land in Puerto Rico that was belonged to my father, and they're trying to get me and my siblings to give up this now a small little lot. And I don't know what their intentions are, and I feel like they're just the pressure is.
Well, the small little lot, do you know where the location is? Maybe it's worth $1 million. You don't know if they found out that somebody wants to build something on this small little lot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I don't know. That's why I was wondering if you are able to see that.
It looks like, giving it up is a stupid thing to do. I mean, it's a stupid thing to do.
Okay.
Let them buy you out, find out what it is. They think that they're telling you it's a little piece of lot. Again, maybe who knows? Maybe Subway wants to go in and buy it for $1 million. You know, I mean, I'm just, you know what I'm saying. You don't know why they want you to give it up. But again, we got the same issues. It's about money. It's about people not believing how greedy people are, how dishonest, they may want to dupe you out of something. I remember one of my clients had a divorce settlement, and he had a place in Williamsburg, which a few years back, nobody knew how Williamsburg was going to be up and coming, but he knew. And so he took what looked like to be worth nothing in Williamsburg and gave her the house in Dix Hills, which was $600,000. As soon as the divorce went through, he sold the property in Williamsburg for $2 million.
Wow.
And he knew about it. So sometimes people know this stuff, and they're just trying to not let you know. So your message, and everybody here, is get your eyes open, ask for the facts, do your own research. Find out how much that piece of land is worth.
Okay.
I mean, nobody's going to tell you the truth. You can already see how greedy your mother siblings are.
Yeah.
And again, mostly people stop talking to siblings after inheritances. You'd be surprised how many people don't speak after this, because people get greedy. And the ironic part about it is, historically, parents left you nothing. You paid to bury them. Now people are leaving more money, and people are getting so greedy. Why shouldn't they be happy with what they've gotten instead of fighting? But I think your message is, and remember, we've been talking about it with you in general, it's get to see that not everybody's honest.
Yeah.
Not everybody tells the truth.
One is on my father's side, she's very religious, studies the Bible back and forth, is an advocate for, right to life, I guess. And the other one is so devoted to Little Flower of Jesus, St. Teresa. And I'm like, how is it that people that are, quote-unquote, devoted to God and his teachings like this?
Well, because they like the teachings, you're your brother's keeper, so don't sue me. That's why. But what God would teach, God did not make those rules. God would say, get your blinders off. See what people are like. And what happens is people have always hidden behind religion. How about the Catholic Church was a haven for pedophiles for 2,000 years? Hiding behind that. I mean, come on. I mean, people hide behind these symbols to make it that they're so spiritual, they're so, religious. But Christianity and Judaism is what makes good people too good. We think, okay, we're going to turn the other cheek. Okay, they're good people because they believe this, and I'm going to let them rob me blind, and I'm not going to get my blinders off. And, just these are hypocrites. These are people that, they have a front. I mean, Elliot Spitzer used to prosecute men going after prostitutes. Meanwhile, he was frequenting prostitutes. I mean, narcissists have a cover. They have a front. And they think nobody's going to see beyond that front. And, part of our lesson is to learn some people hide behind those fronts, and they're really very deceptive. Some of the people who never speak a word of God, never say anything, but never go to church, they're the most wonderful people you'll ever encounter. Your car breaks down, they'll be right there helping you. Meanwhile, the person is religious, goes, oh, sorry, I can't help you, I got to go somewhere. They don't help. Just know that these people are, they're not always telling the truth. And again, that's why part of it is maybe you didn't need to meditate today. You needed to hear this and legally address the facts. And, your mom's maybe going to have to accept that she's going to have to move somewhere else, but she'll have money to move to a nice place. So make it sound fun. Make it sound great. Maybe it's going to be better for her.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I see what you're saying, yeah.
But if you try to fight her against these people, they'll probably cost her. And what they're going to do is, because she's fighting the will, they can all get together and say she has to pay the legal fees.
Well, that's what the lawyer wrote in the letter, that it's going to be taken out of her share.
Right, and, so I don't know how much a battle she wants to do against people who really have let it known. And it is people that have the most money that are usually the most greedy, by the way, about stuff.
Yeah.
Those people with
right.
Nothing, they have nothing because they let everybody steal.
And you want to know something that's even more amazing? Because, hearing the first caller and then you and Nicole talking about being so giving when... And that's like my personality. If somebody needed $10, $100, and meanwhile my ship might be sinking, I'll be the one to hand it out to people, because it's just my nature to want to help people. And I think I learned the lesson that I really have to stop and take care of myself.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's what I'm not telling people to become mean, bad, or whatever. I'm just saying be careful who you help. God helps those who help themselves. He's been very clear about that. And, very clear about that, okay?
It's so funny because I almost hate that phrase, only because I'll tell you why real quick. I asked my aunt for prayers, the one that's on my mother's side of the family. I was desperate for prayers at one time, and she said that she has a rosary bead that turned from silver to gold while she was praying on it. And I asked her for special prayers from that rosary bead, and she told me, well, God helps those who help themselves. And I said, I'm just asking you to help pray for me.
But can you see how the manipulators used it in the wrong vein? Can you see how that? Can you see that, how they twist and turn it? Come on.
Yep.
Now that I pointed this out, you're going to be going, man, you're going to see it so clearly. Once manipulation is pointed out, people see it so clearly. So clearly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show.
Yeah.
And thank you for calling in.
So
you're welcome.
You are most welcome, honey.
Well, Nicole, we had a little bit of a theme today going on here, huh?
Yeah.
Families. Families.
A little bit.
I'm laughing because I think Elaine helped wrap the show up.
Oh, my gosh. That was awesome.
But they have all the money in the world. Yeah, they have all the money in the world because they're greedy. So you think they're going to not
be greedy
because
they're not giving it out.
And you have none because you help everybody, Elaine.
Exactly. They have the money because they don't give it away. You don't have the money because you do.
And to everybody who you shouldn't be giving it to. Well, anyway, I have my client banging on the door, so we'll speak next week.
Yes, we will. And Cindy, as always, great job. Much love goes out to you. And thank you guys for listening.
Bye.